Do it in a couple hours.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Amazing.
We get to the Rama Hilchos Bechoros Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Beis, Chapter 3, Law 12. We were just discussing the last thing we learned on Wednesday night was shearings from the sheep of a Bechor that were very particular. We don't want to benefit from what was sheared before, even things that fell off.
Right.
And even after it dies, under certain circumstances, what came off before. Because we don't want people to take advantage and shear the sheep off
right.
The animal. So, one more scenario there. Yud Beis Bechor Shehoyah Bot Semer Meduv Lol. A Bechor that had some wool that came off by itself while it was alive, but not that it fell off, but was meshed together within the rest of the animal, as it were. Okay, so which wasn't shaved off. In other words, you have something, it fell off by itself, and it's on the ground. It's on the ground, it falls, but it's meshed in the existing wool, so it's sitting on the sheep, on the wool. It's just been dislocated a little bit. It's been dislocated
still.
A little bit, okay? And then, ushchato, and then you shechted the animal properly. So now the question is, what about this? Now, if it would have fallen off completely, then we'd say it's osur bar noah even afterwards. But here it's meshed in. So the halacha is, eshu nira imo imagizo, that part that appears to be part of the shearing, when you're going to now, when it's dead, you could shear it.
Yeah.
So now when you shear it off, and that part that kind of got meshed in, it looks like it's part of the shearing, then mutar bar noah, it's allowed to have benefit because it doesn't really look like it was separated from it. But if it does not look like it's meshed in with that which you just sheared, such as where the root of the wool is turned on the outside and it's like upside down, so you can see where its cut is sticking out, well, that kind of shows us it would never really connect it in any way. Then also you can't benefit from it afterwards. Then it looks like it clearly it fell off when it was alive. Okay, fine. Now an interesting halacha of the halachas of beetle. Now, just to preface, you know that much of kachim can be redeemed, but meiser sheni, the tenth animal rather, and a bechor has no pidyon. You can never redeem them.
Never.
So that becomes an issue.
Except for the donkey.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a regular animal, regular bechor, a regular meiser tenth animal cannot be redeemed. It goes to the Kohen, it goes to Yisrael, it cannot be redeemed. So now, Gizas Bechor, if you have a complete shearing off of a Bechor, Afilu Balmum, even if it was a blemished animal, Shinisarve Begujechulam, it gets now mixed up with other full shearings of mundane. Afilu achas bekamalav, even one shearing mixed up with thousands and thousands. Hakol asur, they're all asur because that shearing comes from the bechor. That's not redeemable, and that's holy shearings.
Bad news.
And why not? Why is it bottle? Because we have another rule. Hareyu dover choshev, a full shearing is considered a significant, substantial, important thing. Umekadish becholshu, and it's prohibited with the smallest amount, and it's not bottle. Just like we said, a burial living thing isn't bottle. Certain things are not bottle. Something that's very chashuv is not bottle. Furthermore, what about, that's if it was a full shearing mixed with other full shearings. How about you sheared off a very little bit? Ha'oreg melo hasit. If you weave, how much of the whole of the shearing of the meiser or the bechor? Molosit is the space in between the second and third finger. You weave that in to the a regular garment from the shearings of the bechor or meiser. Mitzemra bechor, habeged yidolek. You have to burn the garment. There's no use for this at all. Okay.
You don't know where it is. Is that the problem?
So obviously, if you could take it out, you would take it out. But that much got already put into there, and you don't need a dover choshev anymore. Once it has that, that's choshev enough as it is. That's that minimum amount. However, if it's mitzemer hamukdoshin, if it's now, if it's semer mukdoshim, interesting halacha mekadesh b'chol shehu. It's gonna sanctify it regardless of what it is, the amount. And the question is, so why is that not bottle? Yeah. Because the answer is because we have a rule, dover sheish lo matirim, something that can be permitted later, we don't nullify. And since dover mekdashim, you can poda it, you can redeem it. So if you redeem it, so why not redeem it? Why do you have to come on to bittul? And therefore, that is not nullified. Okay, end of the third chapter. Moving on to the fourth chapter, we've dealt with the p'tur of a bechor with a mum and different types of mumim. Now we're going to talk about other p'turim, and the one that we're specifically going to talk about now is part ownership and partnership with a non-Jew. Okay, and this is the solution, Howard, to why we don't give the Bechor firstborns now, even though it's halacha outside of Eretz Yisrael. You develop partnership with a goy, and that gets you out of the issue.
Even in Israel, I guess.
Anywhere. Okay, and basically, the halacha is if a goy owns any specific percentage of the Bechor, mm-hmm. or let's say the mother who gives birth to it, or the Bechor before it was born, then you'll be exempt. We'll get into all the details, but that's the general rule we're going to get into. So if there's any goyish ownership, significant ownership, as we'll see, that's out. So that is the main leniency why we don't apply it in the industries today. Fine.
Now, we don't have experts to determine the mumim either.
You also don't have experts of mumim. Right? None. So what are we going to do? Okay, Aleph. Behemes hashutafim. Now, in general, with Jews, if an animal's owned in a partnership with Jews, chayovim babuchar, there is an obligation to give the firstborn, even though there is one expression in the Torah by the firstborn of the singular nature, that is going to exclude something else. Even though it says lo nemar, the fact that the Torah says the words bekoracha, your cattle, in the singular term, vitzonecha, and your sheep, in the singular term, it would appear to say only if one person owns it and not a partnership. The Gemara teaches us, no, that singular expression is not for that purpose. Elolamai shutufas agoy. It's there to exclude partnership with a goy. Because there's other psukim that include partnerships with a Jew. If you look, it says in Sefer Dvarim, you will bring there oloseichem. Your olos in the plural tense. Ubechoros. Bikarchem v'tzonchem, your bechoros that are plurally owned by you. So there we have one plural and one singular. So the Gemara says the plural is coming to include Jewish partnership, and the singular is coming to exclude a goy involved in a partnership. And this becomes the halacha. Shimhoya shutaf bapora oba ubar. If a goy is a partner in the mother,
the
cow, or the fetus at the time of birth, okay? Afilo hoyu lagoy echad me elef ba'em o bavlad, even if the goy has a 1% of 1,000, which is really not 1%.
Point 0.1%.
I'm saying point, he didn't have 1 out of 1,000. 0.1%, but it's 0.1% ownership of the entire animal, as opposed to a specific body part, which we'll discuss in 1 second. But it's a percentage. Percentage, you can't say, oh, you have a percentage, I'll give you that piece.
No.
Percentage
the
means you own 1/10% of the entire animal. So it doesn't matter if it's the mother or if it's the child that before it was born, obviously. Hareza potter min habachor. It's exempt from bachor. But what if his partnership's a little bit different? What if lohoya ba'echad mi shnehem Aver Echad. But if one of the partners, Goy or Jew, whatever, has a defined portion, one limb, okay, Kegon, Yad or Regel, foreleg or a back leg. So we've got to modify that statement right away because that's a significant amount, and we would obviously know he's a partner in that. But we're talking, the commentators explain, let's say it's something that's not so vital. Let's say the animal grew an extra toe that doesn't have any bone mass to it. And if you would cut it off, for example, it would not render it a Baal Mum. Okay? So that's a very slim ownership. Okay, now what would be the halacha? He only owns one toe of an extra toe. And there wasn't even, that extra toe didn't even have any bone structure extra toe. And now that's missing. All right, we'll see in a second. Kol shi liyichotech. So let's take the part that the goy owns. If we slice it off, now, if it's v'hoya bal mum, if it would render it one of the, whatever we said, 60 types of blemishes, if he owns enough to make it a bal mum, if that part that he owns is significant enough, it would not be there be a bal mum, hareze potter, then you're exempt because that's considered a significant ownership. What if you cut off the part that the goy owns that wouldn't make a puzzle? Such as the example I just gave you.
The extra toe.
There's not, yeah, it's got to be something kind of minimal where the extra toe grew on. Doesn't have any bone there. So if you'd remove it, it wouldn't even be a muma anyway. So that's such a negligible ownership because really the animal's a fine animal without the goy's ownership. That's the whole point. It really doesn't own anything. If it owns something that if you cut it off, it makes a mum, that means there's something significant that he owns. But if you cut it off and it's nothing significant, it's still going to be a kosher animal without a mum. So it's like no ownership. Hareza chayiv bebechora. Then you're chayiv.
You know that doesn't he own that piece?
Yes, that's where speaking.
How would you know we'll have that extra toe or something?
No,
would
it was born. Oh.
How would you know in fact you would only know
the mother.
The mother or the kid. Before the child's born.
The mother or the kid.
But the mother.
Is that there's any ownership of the goy?
They could have done an ultrasound on the kid too, but unlikely in those days. So the mother had the
issue. So it's for the mother.
Maybe it took its foot out before it's.
No, okay. Let's just. Okay. That's the main idea. So therefore, you only have to give a goy a minor ownership in these animals to release you from this. Let's say you let them be. The owner of the one of the back legs. That's all. Or you get, you know, goyish partners in the business, minority shareholders, whatever, however you work it out, so that you put it from that. Okay, now some more tricky cases. Based. Halokeach uber parasa shel goy. Okay, a goy has a animal that's pregnant, and the Jew buys the fetus. Okay, before it comes out, that you buys the fetus inside. Or the opposite. You own the cow. You sell the fetus to the goy.
Both cases.
Either case. Now, the second case is much worse. In a rashoy, a Jew is not allowed to sell. First of all, you're not supposed to sell a cow to a goy, period. We'll see. That does work. Because we're afraid that a goy will work with it on Shabbos. So you're wondering, what's so bad if he's going to work on Shabbos? You sold it to the goy. What's the problem? Well, the rabbis made a decree, if you're going to sell animals to goy, you may then lend and rent to a goy. And you cannot lend or rent your animal to a goy who will work on Shabbos. So since the rabbis were concerned about that, so therefore they're going to even extend it to selling the fetus. That's how far the decree goes, that you want to do that. So even though you weren't allowed to do that,
but you did it.
Still in all, hareisa poter mina b'chori, you're still exempt from firstborn obligation because the goy owns part of it. The chiddush is, we would think maybe you'd penalize the guy. That since he sold something, he wasn't supposed to sell, we'll say, yeah, you think you're going to get anything? We're going to make it worse for you now. No, we don't do that. So we don't penalize him, Al-Dover, for the fact he sold it to the goy. You went against that isser, because he should have. Let's say you'd have to redeem the uber from the goy and then give it the coin. Maybe we'd say, you weren't supposed to sell the uber, so now we're going to penalize you. You have to redeem it, buy it back from the goy, and then give it to the coin. Not that it's really holy, but we're going to penalize you anyway. So you might think we would have done that because you're not supposed to sell to a goy. No, we don't penalize him. There's goyish ownership. You are exempt. Now we take other cases where you, either the Jew or the goy, doesn't exactly buy the animal, but he's going to care for the animal. And because he cares for the animal, what's going to happen is that when this animal gives birth to children, you're going to alternate ownership of the babies. In other words, the first baby goes to the goy, second to the Jew, third to the goy, fourth. That's payment. In which one of the people owns it, he gives it to a breeder, whatever, to raise it. And he's not buying it. He's not charging per se, but that's his fee.
Fee for services.
He gets the animals that are born. So yeah, however they're ancient. Right. Okay, fine. You could even we're saying even that could be maybe they have joint ownership. But let's say even better, one is going to clearly belong to the goy. One's going to clearly belong to the Jew. Let's even say that the first animal is going to belong to the Jew,
and
that's the bechor. But since the whole joint venture is.
Or even if that particular animal.
That's right, because the whole idea is it's a sort of a partnership. This is tantamount. That's the chiddush. Even though the goy doesn't actually own the mother animal, and he may not even own the first baby that's born, but the deal is that whatever comes out is partnered, so to speak. So that is considered enough of a partnership. Wow. Exactly. Wow. So either way, Hamakabel Behema Mina Goy, let's say it's the Goy's animal, and the Jew's going to breed it for him. Leos Metapol Ba, that he's going to take care of it. Valvlot is whenever they're going to split up the babies. Wow. Or the opposite, O Goy Shekibel Misro, because the Goy is going to breed it for the Jew. Doesn't matter who gets which one what. Hare Elu Piturim Mechora, they're exempt from firstborn status. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Peter, Kol Rechem Bivnei Yisrael, the first opening of every Rechem that belongs to the Jews. Ad She'akol Yisrael, until everything belongs to the Jew. Means every animal that's born out of this Jew, not some to the Goy and some to the Jew. Okay, same arrangement, same idea, but a little bit of a different arrangement. This arrangement, a little bit totally different, really. A person buys a sheep from a goy, but he hasn't got any cash. So he tells the goy,
right.
He tells the goy this, okay, 5 years from now, I'll pay you for it. It's $100. Okay, but you know, you got to sweeten the pot. It's not going to give it to you for 5 years. And he says like this, well, whatever the animal's going to be worth 5 years from now, you will get the what do you call it, the extra money that it's worth,
the appreciation.
You'll get the appreciation for it. All right, so you can get interest from a goy.
Yeah. Oh, goy,
it's a goy. I didn't say a goy, did I? I'm sorry.
You did,
from a goy.
You said a goy.
And the Jew, if the animal goes down in value, the Jew says, I'll cover the price what it's worth.
Jeez.
So in other words, I'm buying an animal for you.
Situation.
The animal now costs $100. I'm going to buy the animal, but I don't got the money. I'm taking it on credit. 5 years now, you're going to get one of the two. If the animal goes up in value, I'm not going to pay you $100. I'm going to pay $150. If it goes down to $80, I'm going to pay you $100. And just in case I ain't got the cash, you have the right to collect any of the that animal or its children or children's children.
So it has to be a female we're talking about.
Obviously. So you're talking about, so here's the deal. I'm giving you a sweet deal financially, but of course you want some kind of collateral on this. So the animal itself will be the collateral. Its children will be the collateral, and its children's children will be the collateral. Now, what's going to be happening to the children and the children's children?
Potential partnership.
What's going to happen all this? That's the case. Okay, Hamakabel Tzol Min HaGoy, a person receives sheep from a goy. But Momon Katsufer said about a money. Upasiway makes the following deal with him. Shia Sachar Benem, the profits are going to be between them. If it's like 150, he gets the 100 and they'll split the 50. Not the whole 150, he'll get the profit of what's
earned. Okay.
Whereas you're going to get the 100 that I owe you, and whatever it advances more, 50, we'll split. Still a good deal for the goy. Right? So, and if it goes down in value, the Jew will absorb the loss. Now, he's not saying the next condition that I told you. The Rambam's going to say it at the end of the halacha. I just told you in advance. You're going to wonder what's going on.
Oh, okay.
Afal pi shibir shuzil. The truth is, it's in the Jew's domain. He's bought it.
Yeah.
He really bought it. Who's the owner of the cow? The Jew. For ehei kikin yaro. It's like his own acquisition. But ho, vim lo yimtza goy etzlo maman achalik. So what if the goy doesn't ever find any money from the Jew to collect later? And this was a condition that was put into the deal. Yigba mina behemos elo. He can collect from the animal he sold. Umivlodoseim, and from their children and add grandchildren. That's the way the deal was made. Well, no, you'll see it only goes two generations. Nasi kamoshe shel achraisim. It's like the Jew has an obligation to owe, he owes the goy, it's a lien, so to speak, on the babies of that. Valvaldoseim and their children. Reyad ha-goy b'ems, and the goy's hand, so to speak, is in the middle of the pie.
Whoa.
And therefore, all those two generations, the mother and two generations, Peturim and Bechor, are exempt from Bechor. Haim, they, Uvaldoseim and their children, meaning the children and the children's children. Avovalde Vladis, but the great-great-grandchildren, fourth generation, that was never part of the deal. Chayovim, then you're chayiv. Sherei shel Yisrael, they're the Jews. Ve'ein lagoy rishus aleim. The goy has no rights to that at all. Okay, now here's an interesting case where a Jew buys an animal from a goy. Now there's different halachos. The Torah recognizes that goyish courts have different laws than Jews, and according to Judaism, a goy can affect a transaction in a goyish world different than a Jew. So what happens if the Jew is living in the goyish city and the transaction is done in a way that fulfills the goy's transaction, but if it was between Jews, it wouldn't work. But between goys, it works.
Yeah.
So now, if he's going to, let's say, buy an animal from a goy or sell a goy, who's going to be the owner according to Judaism insofar as giving up a bechor? Now, obviously, if you sold it to the goy's got it. There's no way you're going to get a bechor out of that. Go ask the goy to give me the first animal. But what if you bought it from the goy? That if you bought it from a Jew, you would not be a good Kenyan.
Right.
When you buy from a Jew, you have to make a meshicha. You have to make a proper Kenyan. If you don't, no matter what you did, that belongs to the other person, and the other person's got to give the firstborn animal. But when you did it with the goy, you didn't make a Jewish kinyan, but you may well be good enough for a goyish kinyan.
Right.
So what's the halacha? What's the halacha?
Yisrael
shenasan maos lagoy. A Jew gave money to a goy, but no meshicha. V'kanol b'hem behema migoy. And he buys them from the goy. Bidinam, according to their secular laws that Judaism recognizes between goyim, kesef is a good kinyan.
Yeah.
If we bought it from a Jew, it wouldn't be a good Kenyan. Afa pishlo moshach, even though he didn't do a meshicha, still kana, the Jew has acquired it halachically. Vechayevus bebechora, he's chayev in bechora for that. Vechein im kana hagoy miyisrael b'neim. Similar, if the goy buys it from a Jew according to their laws, v'nosam mos, and he gave money. Afa pishlo moshach, even though he didn't pull the animal, kana, the goy acquires it. Uptura mi bechora, and exempt from bechora, because the dina de machusa, the law of the land for the goyim, is binding on this sale. So if it's binding on the sale, it will now be binding in terms of the halacha that will affect it afterwards.
Ooh.
Okay, one more. Vav. Ger shenis gayer, let's say a non-Jew, interesting case, he converts. He converts on a Monday morning. He goes to the mikvah on a Monday morning. He is converted as of 10 a.m.
Whoa.
He happened to own animals. He happened to own an animal that had never given birth to a child yet.
And now he comes back to make a celebration.
He comes back to the farm at 4 o'clock. And at 4 o'clock, he sees a little calf next to the cow. And the question is, was a little calf born at 9 o'clock before he went to the mikvah? Or at 11 o'clock, or later, after he went to the mikvah?
So you have to call an event. You have to call an event.
So was the animal Jewishly owned at the time of the birth or not? You don't know if before or after the conversion it happened. Bechor misafek. That's a bechor misafek. It's really, it's 100%. There's no way to resolve this doubt.
No.
It's either for sure chayev or for sure putter. There's nothing in between over there.
Can you call it a veterinarian?
So since you have that halacha, so what is going to be the halacha? Well, you can't bring it as a korban on the mizbeach because it could be it's a goy.
Yes.
What are your options? The only option, that's exactly what it is. You have to let it graze until it gets a mum. Because now let's look at it both ways. If it was a goy, so fine. It's a goyish animal that has a mum, and you can eat it. It doesn't be owned by a Jew. If it was a real Jewish animal, Okay, and it got a mum. So, okay, even though it was really kutchum and everything, mum is you could eat it outside your shul. I, the Kohen, would want to get it. Hamotzi mechavero olavaraya. The monetary claim, you have to prove it. Remember, you only have to give it to the Kohen if he for sure gets it. You can't shear it.
No.
Can't shear it. Can't work it. Can't do any of that. But you could eat it, and the Kohen is out of luck. Sorry,
oh,
Sam.
Oh, boy. Have to Sam.
Retried, Sam.
Going to end it on that one.
Oh, boy.
I don't think he's missing too many meals.